The following program is sponsored by Seattle Open Door Church. Seattle Open Door Church is committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Our doors are open to whomever. No masks required. Seattle Open Door Church is located in downtown Burien next to the Southwest Courthouse. Welcome to There Is Hope. Your host for There Is Hope is Richard Dover, the senior pastor of Seattle Open Door Church in Burien.
So I shout out your name from the rooftop. Lord. We want to be led by your Spirit. Father God, we want to hear your voice in our life. Lord, will you bring conviction where there needs to be conviction, Lord God? Would you bring peace where there needs to be peace, Lord God? Would you show us what you'd have for us to do for our land, for America? Lord, as we look at the various ways that we can stand the gap for our nation, I pray, Father, that we would ask you, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do as a follower of Jesus Christ to stand for this nation, that we truly could be one nation under God? And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And that song says, here I am, my arms are open wide. I've talked about this many times. People say, well, why do you have to lift your hands in church? Well, you don't have to lift your hands in church. But here's a concept of it when you worship and you say, here I am. Can I tell you something? If it's here I am, what does that give? What do you think that gives as a message? If it's here I am, or if it's here I am. The whole symbolism is what? When you lift up your hands, what are you doing? You're welcoming. You're surrendering. You say, here I am. And I've talked about many times, and I don't know, maybe many of you didn't have daddies that you lifted your hands up to, but when daddy came home and you're a little kid, and daddy comes home, what's the first thing you do when daddy comes home? You lift your hands up, daddy, daddy. And why are you doing that? Well, you want to hold him, right? You want him to pick you up, wrap his arms around you, and you're saying, here I am. And they would kneel down like this to eat the grass. They prayed in our yard. Then every year I'd see that. And then if you walked 500 feet away from my yard, you go to the Cook Inlet out in the ocean, and there'd be hundreds, probably thousands, of sea otters laying on their back eating. That's where I lived, and I come to Seattle. You know, I came to Seattle to help plant a church, to help a church that was starting. I gave all that up. Not just to help a church to start? That's crazy. No, it wasn't. Because I have something that I wake up to. I don't wake up to bald eagles anymore. I don't wake up to sea otters. And I don't wake up to moose anymore. When I wake up to a beautiful young lady right here. And that's better. Now I'm going to cry. That's better than any eagle there is. I love you, honey. Okay, distress in America. Let's talk about distress in America. Distress in America. America's only hope. Listen to me. Last week we talked about all the problems America has. We have all kinds of different problems, all kinds of issues. America's got a mess. America's in a mess. Our hope is not, if you look on the image there, what do you see? Can you see in the background what kind of animals on the background on the left? It's an elephant. Anybody know what party the elephant represents? Republican Party. On the right side, there is I'll call it a donkey. He has another name, but I'll call it a donkey. There's a donkey. And what party does that represent? Democrat Party. Okay. And in the middle, what do you see? See the cross. Our hope isn't in a political party in America. Our hope is in the Lamb. The hope is in Jesus Christ. If you want to see America change, it is not in a political party. Should we vote? We're going to talk about that. We should vote. But our hope isn't in a political party. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. The only hope for America is the Lamb. The only hope for America is that we allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in America. And where does that start with? Before Jesus can be the King of Kings of America, where does he needs to be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and where? The church. After the church, where? How about us? In us. So I got a verse for you to look at. It's Isaiah 60:12. Isaiah 60:12 says, for the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish, and the nations will be utterly ruined. The you is who? God. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve God will perish, and the nations will be utterly ruined. What this is saying is a nation that turns its back on God, a nation that says we want no more to do with God, is a nation that will fall. And I would argue one of the greatest examples of that is the nation of Israel. A nation of Israel turned their back on God multitudes of times, and what happened? They would go into bondage over and over again. If you read the Old Testament, you should read the Old Testament. The Bible says, the New Testament says, you read the Old Testament because there's examples for us. It says, as Christians, we read the Old Testament, not to follow everything the Old Testament teaches, but for it as an example. And if you read the Old Testament, you read that the nation of Israel would have a judge, and the judge would rule over the nation for a period of time. But that judge would turn his back on God, and when the judge would turn his back on God, the nation would go into paganism, and God would walk away, and they'd be conquered again. Then God would raise up another judge that would be following after him. And that judge would be good until he didn't follow God. Then the nation would turn from God, and the nation would be destroyed. And then you had kings, and God said, what did you have the nation of Israel? They kept saying, we want a king, we want a king. He says, I'm your king. They say they want a king, but they were a theocracy. They're the only theocracy that's ever been on the planet of the earth. They were a theocracy. Who was king? God was king. He was in charge. The people said, no, 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 we want a man, we want a man. And God speaks to the prophet Samuel, and he says, you don't want a man to be your king, because if you have a man to be a king, he will start having you serve him to build his kingdom. You'll have to feed him and clothe him and all the relatives and build the temples, the palaces, everything else. You don't want, but the people said, we want one. So they chose Saul, and Saul they took because he looked like he was a real king. He was a real man. And he led him down a path away from God. So God raises up another king, King David. Then King David has his problem. Then his son Solomon. And you go and you read the Bible, and there's king after king. And then the nation splits and it divides. And you have the southern kingdom, which is two tribes, the tribes of Judah. And you have the northern kingdom that's called the kingdom of Israel or Samaria. And it's 10 tribes, two separate kingdoms. And they deal with that until they go into captivity. And now Israel's coming back together as a nation, because they are God's chosen people, and God will bring them back in the end. But how much did they have to go through? And can I tell you the way our country is going? Our country is divided. You pick almost every issue there is, and it's about 50-50. Almost every issue, it's 50-50. It's not like 70-30. You know, the neat thing about Israel, that, hey, at least they had 10 and 2. The only problem, the 10 were the ones that were the pagans, and the 2 were the ones following God. But out of it, we're split half and half. You talk about any, I don't care what subject is, you talk about abortion, it's going to be 50-50. You talk about homosexual marriage, it's going to be 50-50. You talk about ISIS, 50, what we should do, 50-50. Whatever it is, our nation is divided. And I'd argue the reason our nation is divided, because our focus is not on God. We're focused on a party, not on God. We need to focus on Jesus Christ. Do I think one party leans more towards the biblical principles? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Republican Party leans more towards biblical principles, whether you like it or not. I don't care if you're a Democrat, and I don't care how long you've been a Democrat. And I know I shouldn't say that, but I'm going to say it because it's the truth. Which party supports abortion, the killing of innocent unborn babies? What party supports homosexual marriage? Totally against the Word of God. What party turns around their party platform? 2 years ago, their party platform, they took out the name God out of their platform. That should give you a hint. But so then we take the other party that talks all about God but has some of the most greedy politicians there is. And could care less about a lot of the issues of the day. And so it isn't a party. It has to be that we're focusing on Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the answer. So let's be real. I talked about this last week. I'm going to talk about it again. This, let's be real. This be totally real. America is not a Christian nation. Do you know that? America is not a Christian nation. Never was a Christian nation. Talked about it last week. I'll talk a little more about it. Then we're going to come to some solutions. But America was never a Christian nation. How do we know that? Okay, for America to be a Christian nation, the founders had to be what? Christians. Were all the founders of America Christians? No. Many of them were deists. What are deists? A deist believes that there's a God, and they believe that God is a powerful God and a mighty God. They believe that you should please that God. A deist believes that you should please that God, but they don't believe in an intimate relationship, and they were not Christians. A deist is not a Christian, is not a Buddhist, is not a Muslim, is not anything. A deist is the one who believes in God. Now, those who were deists lean towards the Christian God. So those who are deists that lean towards the Bible, the God of the Bible. But they were not Christians. So if some of the founders were not Christians, we cannot be a Christian nation. Now, were some of the founders Christians? Absolutely. Were many of them Christians? Absolutely. Were they ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Read the Founding Father papers. Read all the different articles that were written. Read what the early presidents used to write. And you will find that most of them trusted in the Bible for sure. Whether you're a Christian or not, they believed in this Bible. But most of them were made up of about five different denominations of that time. And so they were all different denominations. They weren't all of one denomination. That they either were deist or they were Christians. But our nation was not a Christian nation. It can't be a Christian nation. Because for to be a Christian nation, who has to be king? Jesus has to be king. Have you seen Jesus ever king of this nation? Ever? He's never been king of this nation. But was this nation founded on biblical principles? Absolutely. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, look at the Constitution, you look at the Bill of Rights, you look at all of our founding papers, get fine. You're going to have references to the Bible. You're going to have references to Bible principles that are there. And so out of it, we were founded on biblical principles. Where are we one nation under God? I've got you in on a couple other secrets. I pledge of allegiance to the United States of America, one nation under God. Was that Pledge of Allegiance in 1776? No. Anybody know when it came around? In the 50s. Okay. In God we trust on our money. It says in God we trust. Did it say in God we trust on the early money? No. Came later on. Okay, those came later on. So that wasn't part of our founding was in that. But are we a nation that believes in God? Man has inalienable rights. Who says that man has inalienable rights? Isn't that not a biblical principle? That all of us have rights as human beings? That we all have value, we all have worth? That's a biblical principle. And you can go along and look at the Constitution. You can read through it. You can look at the Declaration of Independence. And you can see that it's very clear that our nation was founded on biblical principles. If you look at the presidents of the United States, if you look at their writings, how many times do they call for prayer? They call for prayer many times. And when they call for prayer, who do they pray to? They prayed to the Christian God. They didn't pray to Muslim God. They did not pray to Allah. Allah. If you look at Muslims, we're not involved in the founding of America. We're not involved whatsoever. In fact, if you read some of the writings, one of them was Thomas Jefferson. And he actually wrote some things to say, one of the things we do as a nation is to protect ourselves from what's taking place with the Muslim world. So we're not a Muslim country. We're a country that was based upon Christian principles, Bible principles, but we weren't a Christian nation. The reason I say that is because Christians will go and they'll take it to the extreme and say, we are a Christian nation, so we need to bring back God back in. No. We're a nation that believes in biblical principles, and it's okay for God to be in the marketplace. It's okay for God to be involved. And as how many know, again, I'm just building some foundation, then we're going to get into some solutions. I want to get still distill lies, deceptions, half-truths, because one side leans from one way and another side leans another way. That out of our nation, when you look at our nation, is there anything in our Constitution says there's certain religions that cannot be practiced in America? Bill of Rights, freedom of religion. Did our founding fathers start America so they could make it that certain religions could not be practiced? No. Nothing in there whatsoever. Why was America started? It was the opposite of that. It was the fact that what they did is they left Great Britain, they left England. Why? Because it was the Church of England, the country was controlled, and if you weren't part of the Church of England, you had no freedom. That was one of the reasons our nation was started. So they left. Now, was the Church of England, you would call that Christian. It's the Episcopal Church here. If you take the Anglican Church over there, the Episcopal Church here. But it was Christian, but it was a certain form of Christianity. He said, if you didn't honor this form of Christianity, you would be persecuted. So they started and came to America. So what? So there could be freedom, whatever their religion there was, whatever practice there was. Now, all of them came not as Muslims. They didn't come as Buddhists. There wasn't Buddhists on the boats. There wasn't Muslims on the boats. There were Christians on the boats. But they came, and they came for freedom to practice their religion the way they had it. Now, did they lean towards Christianity? Absolutely. But nothing in our Constitution says that there's any religion that cannot be honored. But does that mean what we do then as Christians, we'd be silent so others can rise up and have their opinion? Is that what we do as Christians? We say, well, we want freedom of religion, so what I'm going to do is, you know what? I want our tax dollars to go to a satanic temple. Would you as a Christian support tax dollars going to a satanic temple? I hope not. But I'm going to challenge you. Should government money go for a Christian church to be built? Should our taxes build a Christian church? I say no. I say no. Why? Why? Separation church of state. Now listen to me, just get that right, because I try to set you all up, because separation church of state, because people have a wrong concept of that. Is that our purpose of our government and the way it was established was to protect the church from what? The government. Was it to protect the government from the church? No. It was to protect us from the government. It was not to protect the government from the church. So can the church have influence on the government? Absolutely. But does it mean only Christians can have influence on the government? Who can have influence on the government? Every voter of whatever religion they are, every voter there is. And so out of it, I do not want tax dollars going. I do not believe, in fact, I believe absolutely it's against the law, for the tax dollars to go to build a church. Why? Because if you allow tax dollars to build a church, what do you have to allow? And then to turn around, they have control over it. Plus, then tax dollars can go to pay for a satanic temple or whatever it may be. And so there's separation there for a purpose. Now, what happens with Christians, because I got to be careful because I got to get to the solutions. But here's what happens. Because Christians don't have this foundation I'm talking about, this understanding I'm talking about, they go off into extremes. And what happens, they lose the ability to make a difference because they go into places they shouldn't go into. When they talk about certain things that they shouldn't talk to, then people write them off. Because they say, that isn't what the Constitution teaches. So let me tell you something. If we think the government should support any kind of organization, then that means they can support any organization. And I don't want that. We don't have to worry about the government supporting the church because the church has who is its support? Jesus Christ. God. Us. So if we don't like something that's happening, we have freedom in America to speak, and we don't need to make the government be on our side. We just need Jesus on our side, and Jesus will work in the midst of all that goes on. So what's happened? Because the church has been silent, because the church has embraced the world, because the church has become the world, now all of a sudden, everything else has more power, more authority, everything else has more influence. And so what happens is then Christians get mad and they say, what we need to do is we need to vote in these people, and I believe in voting. We need to vote in these people. We need to do this. We need to do that. We're losing our rights. The reason we lost our rights is because we haven't been a light. We haven't shown a reason for there to be the church to have the influence that it has. And so we haven't been the light. We haven't been who God's called us to be. And because of that, America goes a certain way. So the solution isn't what we need to do is to make everybody in the government all Christians. If all the politicians are Christians, we'll be okay. Okay. Most churches are made up of all Christians. Is the church okay? Church is sick. The American church is sick. So if the solution is all Christians in the government, we got a problem because we have all Christians in churches and it doesn't work. Because we have to turn our lives over. It isn't the answer of everybody being a Christian, it's everybody being sold out for Jesus Christ. There is a difference between being a Christian and sold out for Jesus Christ. And so what we're looking for is a nation we shouldn't be looking for. Everything has to do with the government is the answer. Who should be the answer? God should be the answer. So America's had some problems. We're going to take a look at it. But first, what I want us to do is look at. Politics is not the answer. Political candidates, political parties, political rhetoric, political hypocrisy is not the answer. How do we know that? Because it hasn't worked. Guess what? We've had Republican presidents. We have Democratic presidents. We're still a mess. We have Republican, Democratic congressmen. We still got a mess. They can't even fix it. Guess what? We have a Democratic president and a Republican Congress, and we can't fix the mess. And other times we've had a Republican president, Democratic congressman, can't fix the mess. Other times we have a Democratic president and congress, we can't fix their mess. Republican president, Congress, we can't fix the mess because it's not politics. Politics is not the answer. The solution for the trouble in America is Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The solution is applying the principles and guidelines found in Scripture.
You have been listening to There Is Hope with Pastor Richard Dover. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a victorious life. Seattle Open Door Church, located in Burien, committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Seattle Open Door Church wants you to know that regardless of where you've been or what you've done, God loves you. Their doors are open to anyone and everyone. Their services are Sunday mornings at 11. Seattle Open Door Church is located at 625 Southwest 149th Street in Burien, next to the Southwest Courthouse.